After our opening prayer, scripture memory, everything normal as such, I asked this question just to get some stimulation to think about mission for a little bit. I said, which would you say is your greatest challenge? Having the right mindset about mission, having the right tool set for mission, or having a good, let's call it a playground or workshop to be able to use those tools. Where do you find your greatest challenge as a believer being missional? And that'll open up good discussion about the importance of all three, just to underscore the importance of those. If you've been to evangelism training here in our church or elsewhere training, it's always important, but we like to think here about mindset, tool set, and then a workshop to utilize those tools. So a good way just to get a little bit of discussion going about the idea of mission. I wanted to talk a little bit about prayer too. Everybody's finished now the tapes, or I should say the CDs or the MP3s on the Lord's Prayer. And so I just simply posed the question. I said, let me ask you, where are you on prayer? What are you thinking about prayer? What do you understand? And particularly I went to the new guys, the new Christians that had just become Christian this year that were new to prayer. And it was really fun listening to them particularly talk about how they're experiencing prayer and what it means for them. We did get into some discussion, and you'll probably do the same, about some saying, honestly, it's really hard for me to stay focused and to have a good prayer time. And so one of the things I tried to underscore is, regardless how small that time is, whether it's 3 minutes a day, 5 minutes, find something you can routinely do. I use the analogy of a marriage. One of the guys had just said, well, you know, I just find my prayer best works. So I just pray as I'm living life. If I'm driving, I'll pray a little bit. If I'm going, get up and I'm walking through, I might just have a word of prayer just as I'm walking into the living room or whatever. And I use the analogy of marriage. I said, can you imagine if you were married to your wife and you said, look, honey, here's the way a marriage will work for us. We'll get together and we'll have only maybe 15, 20, 30 minutes every night together. We'll focus some time together, face to face, heart to heart talk. And let's just be together. But let's not go anywhere together. Let's not talk the rest of the day. Let's just have that good focus 30 minutes. I think anybody would say that would not be a very healthy marriage. On the other hand, if somebody said, we're going to go to places together, we're going to do things, but we're never going to spend time alone, face to face, just focusing on each other and talking, you'd say that relationship probably wouldn't be very healthy. It's really the both and. I said, even though that time be very small, if I had my wife, okay, we're going to have a 5 minute stop every day, and we're going to focus on each other and really talk together, even if it's 5 minutes. What would happen is there would be some weeks, 5 minutes, we're out. But other weeks, she'd say, Randy, I got a little problem with some of the things you've been saying or what you've done or how you've, next thing you know, we're in a 15-minute talk. So that's what will happen in your time with the Lord. So just keep that little bit by little bit every day and watch it grow. So encourage your people about prayer. Then we got into the discussion of the Lord's table. One person asked me, one of our new Christians says, well, we keep using the Lord's table. Is this not communion? What's the difference in communion and the Lord's table? I said, well, it's the same. And usually the various translations use the Lord's table, but it doesn't matter how you refer to it. My question I asked first is, what do you think about when you take the Lord's table? I said, I want to be very just practical. You're sitting before the Lord. You've heard the preaching of the Word of God. You're obviously thinking about the sermon to some degree. What happens? Do you sit there as it starts and your mind all of a sudden goes on to what you got going tomorrow and who's this and what's that? And next thing you know, you feel badly because you hadn't been thinking about it and you're taking it and it's all over? Or do you find your mind really focused and your heart attention where it needs to be? And if so, what is that? What do you think about? It was really fun listening to everybody kind of share their story and what they do and how meaningful it is to them. But one of the things that I encouraged them to do was to have some time of disciplined thought to remember it's a remembrance. Now, when I say it's a remembrance, we're remembering the table. I mean, remembering the cross, I'm sorry. We're remembering the cross and what He's done for us. One of the people in my group said, I read these last 3 points we make here about the mind, emotion, and will, and is there a biblical background to that, that that's what we should be doing, mind, emotion, and will? And my response was to say, no, the reality is, though, if you really do engage the mind correctly on the cross of Christ, you have to be thinking in reality that this is your sin that put Him on the cross. And when you begin to understand it is your sin, that is touching the emotion. When you realize, let's say that you had an elder brother that you made a horrible decision, did something very wrong that caused him to be beaten up, brutally killed because of something you did. Can you imagine thinking about that without realizing, oh, that was me. That's what I did. Well, that's what we understand about the cross. It's not just remembering what he did, but why did he do it? It's because of what we have done as sinners. So that being part, and then the will, obviously, in fact, I made the point. I said, we're a holistic people, and we don't want to think in terms of engaging the mind without the emotion or the will without the mind. No, it's all part. And so these three last points that are made in your materials there, go over them with your folks and think about it. Here's a good way to engage the mind, the emotion, and the will. Now, I make clear, when I say the emotion, it does not mean you have to become emotional about it, that you have to express emotion outwardly. But it should grip the heart and to be thinking about that. We got into a good discussion, too. I asked, how often do you think a person should take the table? And it was interesting. Everybody had different viewpoints. And I tried to say, you know, there's an argument that can be made for taking it every week, every time the Bible is taught in church, every week. There's also a very strong biblical argument and logical argument, for that matter, to say, no, I'm not sure that it is to be taken every single week. Early church, meaning the early church, felt that you don't do this every week because it should be that grand aha that it takes you, like, wow. Never should it be that the table becomes superior in mind over the preaching of the Word. Biblically, centrally, it's the preaching of the Word that was always the focus, and the table is what underscores the gospel element of it in a great way, and that's very important, but it's not vice versa. Some people think the ultimate is here and preaching. No, it's the other way around. So throughout history, the church has disagreed on how often, and some people become routine and legalistic about it. We don't want to do that. And so what we want to think in terms of is as oft as you will. And I think there's a reason Jesus didn't say every week, every this, every that, but as oft as you will, which I think means often. So if you're in a church, not at Perimeter, a church that does not give it but a certain amount of time, there's not much option. But here at Perimeter, at least we can say we offer the table every week in every venue. And so though on Sunday morning we don't have the table in the main, on Saturday night we do. And I encouraged our guys, I said, if you're used to being in the main all the time, we take it about every 2 months in the main on Sunday morning, go to one of the other venues. Just slip in now and then. I think the different ways we offer, there's debate about intinction that we use versus another way. You know, I can say personally, I talked to a lot of people, say they love the idea of getting up and moving forward and being a part of that and the intinction. I can share my personal experiences. I'm distracted, I'm walking, I'm looking at people, I'm thinking, and I don't have that time to focus and quiet and close my eyes long enough, hold the elements, put the bread in my mouth, taste and think and pray, and really something happens when I have that time to do that. So people are different. It doesn't mean one's right, one's wrong, one's better. But alternate, try different venues and different approaches. I think you'll find it to be a great help. One of the things about taking the table regularly, every week, is very often in those churches, you do not find a very, I'm going to call guest-friendly for people who are outside the church. It's a hard thing. It's a good proclamation. And once in a while, wow, but when it's every week, sometimes people go, you know, I feel like an outsider here. I can't do part of the service every week. So they're just different approaches, and let's not be hardcore on any of it. Let's just say, let's understand the various arguments and understandings and find what we think is best for us. So walk through the table, talk about all that. The scriptures are great to give the background, the history, and understanding of it. Make sure they understand that. You can pick one of those, two of those texts if you like, and just see where that takes you. I thought page 8, equipping, was good for us. We stood on that for a few minutes. I just walked right down the list here and said, all right, let's ask. How many have never received the Lord's table? Well, there was nobody in our group, so let's move to number 2. We went through every single one, and it was interesting to see what some people would say. That's me right there, and we talk about that a little bit. So great way to walk through their experiences through that little grid of questions or statements that are made there. On accountability, I focused on number 4 and number 7. your call. It doesn't matter, but those were the two that we talked about. One of the persons in our group wanted to talk about lust. They said, you know, I know we always usually bring up something about, you know, are we faithful in terms of where our eyes are going and how we're thinking and so forth. And everybody that are men, every man has, you know, lust challenges. But I said, well, what we want to talk about is not, is there a tendency and something we have to battle and fight? That's part of our nature as fallen men. However, and women too, for that matter, different expressions. But I said, the thing is, are we surrendering that battle? Are we losing that battle? And let's help. So one of the guys said, it was new in the group, said, do you have people actually say, like, I'm having an affair in your groups, and I'm so, and I said, you know what, we haven't had that. But I have had some men say, here's what, I've got my eyes focused on another woman, and I shouldn't know, or I've got this going on. And all it takes is a few people to open up and be honest like that, and the whole group, knowing there's confidentiality, becomes very vulnerable and very open to share the real struggles that we have. So try to dig down deeper, such as that. Remember, accountability is not just finding out what people are doing wrong and trying to chase them back to a better lifestyle. It's really looking beneath it as a leader and trying to dig in, why is that a problem and how can we help you with that? Speaking of that, one of the things I would encourage you to do is what I'm doing, and that is I'm telling my guys I'm going to try to take a day a week at lunch to try to meet with each of you and walk through your evaluation of your own spiritual pilgrimage as you opened up this year. And everybody filled out an evaluation. And to take that evaluation, sit down and just interact with them on it. To talk, where are you and why did you say this and how do you feel about it? Get to know them spiritually from their vantage point. And then as we get through, of course, I have a pretty large group. I work through that for a number of weeks. Then as I get toward the end, I'll start doing it again and see what kind of progress has been made. I really should have been earlier on in doing this, but I think it's a very good idea to try to get with your people individually to the degree your schedule allows, and sometimes that's not realistic, or for them or for you. In mission, we talked about talk to anybody this week. Anybody take a prayer walk? Where a guy said, oh, man, I took a prayer walk, and it was fast to tell me about it. And told me where he walked and how he prayed for people. He'd see people along the way, and he'd pray for them in his mind, He said, it was rich. And this is a young Christian who's not prayed in terms of having prayer times very routinely until just recently. And he said, boy, this was really a great time for me to be with the Lord. So I think everybody heard that in our group and went, great idea. Let's give it a shot. So anyway, I encourage them to do that if they will. I'm encouraging my guys to meet with me and let me share my faith with one of their friends. I did that this day before yesterday with one of my guys and his friends. And then I had him tell the story of what did he see and what did he learn when I shared my faith with that person. I got into the four booklets, and we're committed now to go through starting next week with book number one. And hearing them all, or seeing them hear about this and us talking about it from this one guy's perspective, I think was extremely healthy. So encourage you as a leader, if you can do that, to do so. We spent a little time just asking each person, what are your real prayer needs? Where are you hurting? What do you want? We went through and took a little time to do that. And then because it did limit us to share all of that, then we had pair prayer. Just would you pray for this person? You pray with this person, and made it a little more intimate person-to-person prayer time. So again, a lot of different ways to go about it. But this is the end of this particular segment of units. And we'll be jumping into the study of God next week. So. Let's plan on having a good one this week. I know it will be. Pray to that end.